Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalktainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalktainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse you.
Welcome to the second hour of The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. on the world's greatest radio, and that is TalktainmentRadio.com. In fact, we go where you go. And, again, you're in touch with TalktainmentRadio.com, and this is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host of The Compensatory Concept. Mr. Fuller is on the line waiting to take your calls, and we're doing also Gmail today. As a matter of fact, on this day, January the 16th, 2019, the title of the show is Phone Calls and Gmails Volume 1, which should mean that we are going to have a Volume 2 sometime later in the year as the Gmails pile up. In the first hour, I didn't check what was sent to me, but I was corrected by this young lady, and I appreciate it. But over 55 years ago, four girls were murdered in Birmingham, Alabama, by the KKK. Denise McNair, Carol Roberson, Cynthia Wesley, and Addie Mae Collins. And in September of 1963, as the caller corrected me, and she added more information to that I didn't know. And it was very good, so you might want to go back and check that second hour, and we appreciate that. Anytime that we make a mistake or misquote, because we all are still learning. So thank you very much for that. Mr. Fuller has been, again, well, he answered this last question, and it was very compelling thought that he mentioned that we, the white supremacists, are making us a slave to our possessions. You have to keep that in mind, because they are. He mentioned a car and so forth, and you know, you're working for this back and forth, and this is what they do. A gentleman had called in about a house and a plumbing issue that he was having, and I guess the insurance company didn't want to pay for it, and so now he's got to go through the legal way to get that done. Anyway, Mr. Fuller was explaining that. He will also take your calls. 1-877-932-9766 is the number you call. As a matter of fact, there's someone on the line now. Go ahead, caller. You are on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
How are you doing, Mr. Fuller?
Still learning.
All right. I have two quick questions and a comment. You were talking about the three I's earlier, the indictment, investigation, and inquiry. You made a comment about the investigation, that we're not supposed to do the investigation part on our own, let somebody else do that. Speaking logically, when you first said that, the first thing that popped in my mind is, why would I trust the investigation part to somebody else? Well, if they bring me back false information? That's my first question. My second question was on your definition of justice. Is it correct to automatically assume that non-white people are always going to be the people who need the most help in the system of white supremacy? And thirdly, I love your show. I love the information you give. And I would like to know, is this the only way we can get in contact with you, Mr. Fuller, if someone would like to speak with you or personally try to get you or hire you for a speaking engagement? Thank you. And I'll take the questions and answers off air.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Fuller?
Yes. Well, as a prisoner of war, you can only deal with the guards, the wardens, who, under the system of white supremacy, are always white. Okay? You know, that's just, you know, if you think, put it in your mind about a prison has, you know, for the prisoners have no authority at all. That's how you should look at yourself. You have, you know, you're just a prisoner. You were born in prison. If you, and your prison uniform is your color. That's your uniform, okay? So you're a person of color on the planet Earth. You're born in prison. Keep that in mind. So you're not really trusting, but at the same time you are trusting because you have to trust for everything that you get, food, a mattress to sleep on, whatever books you're allowed to read, whatever little so-called entertainment and recreation you're allowed to participate in, that's all under the power of the people that run the prison. Just keep in mind, we are in a world prison, no matter where you go, no matter what island you go to. The white supremacists dominate whatever's going on there, directly, indirectly. Even in places where you don't see a single white person, they still dominate it. That's still their possession. That's still something that they dominate if you're a person of color, because they dominate you wherever you are in the prison system. And the prison system is worldwide. No place to run, no place to hide. So in the inquiries, you can, that's all you can do anyway. Just ask. That's all you can ask. You just ask the warden what you want. You have to. There's nobody else to ask. There's no mysterious people. I mean, coming through the walls of the prison, you might say that when the sun goes down, that you can confer with. And then they go outside the walls mysteriously and cause all kind of miracle things to happen and come back the next morning and it's all resolved. No, it's nobody to go to except the wardens of the prison, the commandants of these death camps, which is what we call most of the ghettos really are. Black people being killed by the authorities of the prison directly, or rather indirectly, and indirectly by black people killing each other. And we call it black communities and black neighborhoods. You shouldn't wish none of that on anybody, because all these are just quarters of the prison. So in answer to your question, you have to. You can't make the investigation. If you try to make the investigation in the Northwestern Hemisphere, now you're working against yourself. Because they'll say, hey, the fruits of your investigation, we don't accept. Well, you may not accept the fruits of their investigation, but at least when they put it on paper, here's the way that works. They're likely to indict themselves. That's where the investigation and indictment will lead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you point it out. You just say, these things are happening, or I think they're happening, and I want somebody to investigate it.
Okay.
Now, when they investigate it, usually they are doing something that they shouldn't be doing.
Yes, sir.
And so the contradiction will show up in their report.
Okay.
So you don't write reports on the investigation. Let somebody else do it.
Okay. Now, he said something about speaking engagements or something. He needed you to answer that. Will you do that? And I think that's what it was.
Oh, me making speaking engagements?
Yeah.
No, the only speaking engagements I make since 2007 is like here on TalkTainmentRadio.com and occasionally on some of the AM, FM stations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't travel anymore.
Okay.
And it's another reason. I shouldn't have been doing that in the first place. And actually, I would like to have it that I'm not doing any of that now, even on the radio. Because I don't want everything to become built around Neely Fuller. That thing about that personality cult, become your own personality. That's what the book is supposed to do. Make each and every black person his or her own leader. You're no longer looking for a leader. You've had leaders. You got leaders now who have come and gone in the history books. We don't need to keep piling on leaders. I mean, and everybody sitting back on a log, because we've been trained that way, to wait on the maximum leader, the final leader. we have been led, and we have been led to a thing called logic. That's what all the information that comes to us is about. So what is logic for? It's to make each and every person his or her own leader. That's correct logic. I mean, when you teach a baby, the baby just doesn't come back to the nest, keep looking for guidance. And among animals, they kind of send out that signal. At a certain point, you are your own leader. That's what a cat will tell kittens. At a certain point, I'm going to teach you everything that you need to know. Now, that's the main thing. Get all everything that you need to know, because if you don't have everything you need to know, then you're going to have to keep coming back. It's just like, you know, what do they call rerun? I mean, that character in one of
Yeah, right.
In other words, you keep coming back to the college. You never go out. There are some people who become, I understand, I heard this term back in the 1940s, professional students. Well, we are all students because you're always supposed to be learning, but you're supposed to be able to learn something and hold on to it and be able to stand on your own two feet. Birds do that. Mm-hmm. Bees do that. The birds don't keep coming back to the same nest that they were raised in, saying, where's mama?
Yeah,
where's papa?
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Black people are trained to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Which way did the white folks go? I mean, because I don't know nothing. I'm helpless. I mean, why can't they stop this killing here? You know, we don't know how to stop killing each other. Why don't some white folks come here? And when the white folks come here, why is it that they kill so many of us? And the white supremacists say, well, I don't kill as many of you on a daily basis as you kill each other.
Mm.
How about that?
Wow.
But we say, yeah, but you kill some of us and you're supposed to know better. All right, well, what is it that we're supposed to know when we can't spend 10 minutes alone without going at each other's throats?
Correct.
And there's a reason for that, and we've been taught to do that. That's why we got to break training. Black culture, as it is now, is absolutely worthless.
All of it. 1-877-932-9766. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller. This is Brother Muko from Baltimore.
Hey, Brother Muko.
Mr. Fuller, you have been right on point. But as always, I want to ask you, can you please expound on my care unit in Baltimore and all around the world, all other care units? I've been seeing a lot of people in the media. First, I see them not calling racism, white supremacy, what it is. Now I see them calling it what it is, but they're asking for the very important thing that you tell us and taught us not to ask for, and that is an apology. So can you please double down for my care unit in Baltimore the three things that we are not supposed to ask for, absolutely not under any circumstances, please?
Don't ask for an apology of anybody anytime under any circumstance. Ever, as long as you are breathing and beyond, never ask anybody for an apology. That's number one. Number two, never ask for love. Let's see now, I'm trying to remember the third one. Never ask for an apology, never ask for love, and never ask for respect. Never. Never, 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 ever. We sound silly doing that. You're asking for an apology? Now, where's the logic? Everything is supposed to be logical in codification. If you ask for an apology, it doesn't mean anything when you get it. The white supremacists will say, you know, hey, you want an apology for slavery? You want an apology for, you know, me mistreating you today, and for all the mistreatment I'm going to dump on you tomorrow, and what you want out of it is an apology? Well, boy, I mean, gal, that's what they call us. Hey, if that's all you want, how many do you want? I got truckloads of apologies. I got warehouses full of apologies. I mean, you just pick it. You want them in pastel colors or whatnot, you know? You want them in big letters? You want them in small letters? You want them in ancient print? You want them in, do you want an apology in Swahili? I got them. Hey, you know, line up, get your kitty cloth and all like that, you know? I'll shake your hand and apologize. I mean, you know, hey, you want tears to go along with it? I got them. Boy, do I ever have them. All right. I hope people get their point.
Yes, sir.
I mean, hey, we want compensation, and we don't want it in the form of no apology, no respect. We're not asking you for no respect ever. We don't care nothing about your respect, all right? You don't have to be courteous. You don't have to be none of that. We want something that's something we can use, you know, like justice. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we're asking for. Now, if you can't guarantee that nobody's mistreated ever and guarantee that the people that need help the most get the most constructive help in all areas of activity, 24/7, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, no mistreatment of any kind, and constructive help of every kind, and we want that guaranteed 24/7 everywhere on the planet, all times, all places, regardless of geography or anything else. That's what we are asking for. If you can't guarantee that, come back
and we'll have
you can. Because we're not asking for no apologies, no respect, and no love.
No love.
Period. Ever.
Right. Okay.
Black people should come off of that. You're correct. The call is correct. Don't ever ask anybody for it. Because these are things that should be given without you asking.
All right.
You shouldn't ask for it. It ain't worth nothing when you got to ask for it.
All right. Thank you, Brother Muko.
I made that illustration.
Okay,
all right.
Warehouses full of apologies they got.
All right. Thank you, Brother Muko. Thank you very much. That's Brother Muko from Baltimore. Let's do this. TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7, no-charge worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. And here's one that I'm going to share with you, and it is Senior Agenda with Lisa Stockdale. Now, if you have never listened to the Senior Agenda, you owe it to yourself and see what Sister Stockdale has to say. Now, that show normally premieres on Thursdays, which is what, tomorrow? Yeah. But check it out and see. And, hey, listen, while you're there, look at the other shows that TalkTainmentRadio.com has. And, you know, just give a listen and see if you would like the show. Because there are quite a few shows. And they're all different. And you get to know a little bit about the show host and all that pertinent information. All that on the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage. So give a listen, TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. And the title of our show today is Phone Calls and Gmails, Volume 1, which means there should be a Volume 2, maybe Volume 3. So if you'd like to call in on the show, you can, 1-877-932-9766. Or you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com, and we will try to answer as many questions as we can. We'd like to give Mr. Fuller ample time to give an explanation to the question. Here is a follow-up question, Mr. Fuller, where the gentleman asked about an apparent hierarchy in the non-white group of people that you describe. It appears, he says, as if people of African descent are treated worse than other groups of people, and statistics bear witness to this. I understand the concept that the white supremacist thrives on confusion and the treating various non-white groups differently will add to this confusion. He says, I'm trying to answer the question as to why people of African descent seem to be treated worse. Mr. Fuller?
Well, we have been trapped into that thing called African descent, because I really don't know what that means. Because the white supremacists themselves said, hey, we're Africans too. Open any anthropology book, and the white supremacists themselves say, we originated in Africa. All people originated in Africa, including white people. So if you're talking about African descent, so what are you talking about? I'm African too. And then the white supremacists, if they tell the truth, they'll say, hey, boy, wake up and smell the coffee. It ain't where you're from. See, you black people got a thing about where you're from. It's what you are now and what you will be. It ain't where you're from. Everybody's from somewhere. So what? It's who has the power, boy. You ain't noticed that? Who has the power and how did they get it? And we know more about that than anybody, because we got it and you ain't. Now figure that one out. Now you can talk about where you're from all day long and you can talk about where I'm from. So what? Where you're from is where you are now and where you can go and what you can do when you get there each and every time, and nobody can stop you. And as a white supremacist, I ain't found nobody who can match that. And that's the voice of the white supremacists.
Mm-hmm.
So we should get out of this thing of studying our navels. You know, that's what I call it.
Okay.
Sitting in a corner and talking about, well, you know, I got some great ancestors. Well, what does the code say about ancestors? You know what I say when people ask me about my ancestors? I say this, what I've written in the book. My ancestor invented breathing. And I never say nothing else. That's all I have to say. I don't look at any books and all like that. When I started talking about ancestors, and they started talking about what your ancestors did and going and picking through this and this artifact and that artifact, I never paid any attention to any of that. I simply say, Neely Fuller's, going under this slave name, ancestor, invented breathing. Why? Why do I know my ancestor invented breathing? Because I'm breathing. I could not be breathing without my ancestor inventing a thing called breathing. And it doesn't get any better than breathing. That's why I say that's the only artifact I need.
Okay.
It doesn't get, I don't know of anything better than breathing.
Okay.
For a person, an animal, a plant, or whatever. I don't know of anything. Whatever invented breathing, that was my ancestor. So now we can just, you know, when we sit down, it's the practical reason for this. Because, see, the white supremacists sit there and say, well, tell me all about your ancestors. You know, before you can get this job, I mean, you got to show me your background. I mean, have your people ever done anything worthwhile, blah, 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 blah? That's a trick. That's a massive trick. That's just something to take up a whole lot of your time and exhaust you, which the white supremacists are good at. So you just simply say, oh, my ancestor invented breathing. All right? So we can move on to something else.
Okay.
Right quick. Bam. Just like that.
All righty.
The codification is about moving fast right out the gate.
Right out the gate. Okay. Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller doesn't want us to think of him as our leader or mentor, and he certainly doesn't want us to follow him. The author, Neely Fuller Jr., suggests allowing logic to be our mentor. Mr. Fuller wants to be a signpost for the logic of the universe, which is cause and effect. The logic that came with the universe, which is cause and effect. What is the logic of cause and effect? It is the absolutes of the universe, like, for example, water is wet, fire will burn. The law of laws are the rules that govern the universe. Then he goes on with more. I don't see a question in here, but do you embrace that VGQ, or what do you? What is your answer to that? Since
well, those words that I'm hearing are words that I've said on this program.
Yes.
So someone was repeating what I've said on this program, and I mean what I said. I mean, you know, from what I'm hearing now. And I say that's what it is. That's what I'm saying. I'm just a person that's just pointing out what's already there. I'm not a leader. The leaders of black people on this planet are all white. When you're a prisoner of war, you have a leader. The people that run the prison, they're our leaders. That's all. Now, what is a black person like myself, you know, and who people sometimes will try to call a leader? I'm no leader. I'm not qualified to be a leader. I'm a prisoner of war. So I'm a spokesperson. So is every other black person a spokesperson. In other words, you're just a person walking around in the prison yard speaking. That's all. Speaking about what? Whatever you want to speak about. That's all I'm doing. And so I choose to speak about our prison conditions. The conditions in this prison are terrible. And the conditions in this prison shouldn't have existed in the first place, because we were made prisoners of war that we didn't have anything to do with.
Yes, sir.
We were captive before birth. You know, the people that came before us were put into the prison. We were born in prison. So that's all that I am. And I'm just making that clear. That's all other non-white people are in the system of white supremacy. And when you look at it like that, you calm down and you start figuring on how to solve problems rather than walking around trying to figure out who's the big Negro in the cell block today.
So is logic, as he pointed out, is logic your mentor, not yours personally?
Absolutely. Logic is, if you're going to accomplish anything at all, even if you say that you're following a person, the person that you're following is supposed to use what?
Logic.
Otherwise, it's not logical to follow that person.
Yeah.
So you can go directly to the logic yourself. That's all. But the white supremacists say, hey, you black people can't know anything unless you come through me. You can't even think unless you come through me. I teach you how to think. And we say, yes, Buona. I guess so, Buona. I'll scratch my head, Buona, and try to get my brain to moving, Buona. You know, going down the road. Poor Negro me, you know, and if I can't figure something out on my own, I know I got to come to you forever and ever and ever, because I don't want to use my brain. I just want to turn flips and jump up and down and high five with my homies. That we have been trained to do that, like monkeys, like dogs.
Okay, listen here. Caller, stay right there. We have to do this. TalkTame@radio.com. We go where you go. Check us out on 94.1 WGRN and podcasts are available. Download the TalkTame@radio.com after your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Now, right there, caller, stay right there. We're going to get to your call and your other call, callers, and more Gmails, all that coming up next. Here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin online.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kickin online at www.ashkickin.com.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
Stand by for an important announcement for renters and investors.
You have probably heard about this bad economy and high foreclosure rate. I'm here to bring you hope. Every foreclosed property is a blessing or a deal for a new buyer or investor. These properties are selling every day all over Central Ohio for several reasons. They are equity rich, worth tens of thousands of dollars above their price. There is down payment money available and remodeling funds if needed. Don't let the doom and gloom news keep you from your dream of home ownership. Call Linco Realty today at 865-9614. That's 865-9614. Call now. Always remember, these times, like all times, are good times if we but know what to do with them. They also have programs for investors who want to get off the couch and run with the big dogs. Call Linco today at 865-9614 or log on to repohomeslist.com.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Sex Code War by Kahari and Aharo. The author of the Essence Magazine bestseller, Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
Okay, TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host of the Compensatory Concept on TalkTainmentRadio.com. You can call me or call Mr. Fuller at 1-877-932-9766 or Gmail me at the numero 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. Let's go through the phone lines. Okay, caller. You got Mr. Fuller. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. It's great to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So this is a follow-up. This is another follow-up question, and it relates to the concept that white supremacists are dominant because they're smarter. And here's a little background. Mr. Fuller often speaks about replacing the system of racism, white supremacy, with a system of justice. And there is a Christian belief to which many Black people subscribe, which teaches that this will ultimately happen. The teaching kind of goes like, there will be a judgment, and where justice will be served, and people will be rewarded according to their deed. Does Mr. Fuller, do you subscribe to this view? And would you agree that if this belief comes true, the white supremacists who now appear to be the smartest will actually turn out to be the fools?
Oh, I say I don't know. But the position I have taken, according to my religion, which is eclectic pluralism, and that's described in the book. That's the name that I gave to it because that's the only religion I've ever really had. I used to call myself a Christian, but I wasn't qualified to call myself that. I don't think people should put a label on themselves where they are not qualified to have that label. I wasn't doing the things that they say a Christian is supposed to do, and then even that became very controversial because I saw people who call themselves Christians doing all sorts of things, and I became, what, confused. Now, one thing that the code is strictly anti, and that's anti-confusion. In other words, whatever you're supposed to be or whatever you're supposed to be doing and all like that, you don't put the incorrect labels on bottles or cans or anything. Whatever is on the label, that's what's supposed to be in the can. So, eclectic pluralism really refers to, it's just, these are terms that I just picked out of the dictionary. And I call it a religion because it's a religion I've always had. I'm a confused person because in the system of white supremacy, with everybody talking at me and everybody is saying that they are right and they're saying that the other person talking is wrong, I get confused, particularly when it's hundreds and thousands of people doing this each and every day. That person is right, the other person is wrong. And And so I'm in the mix. And so at a certain point, I don't know what to believe or who to believe. So I have to be what? Patient and observant until I can make up my mind. That's the logical compensatory procedure. You find yourself amidst a whole bunch of confusion. And so therefore, you have to figure things out in confusion, particularly when everybody says, I got it all. I know it all. Those people down the road don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't got no idea what they're talking about. They're being misled. Now, when everybody's saying that around you, it means you have to back off and do some thinking of your own. And that's what I do. That's the formula that I describe what eclecticism is in the textbook for victims of white supremacy that you can get by going to producejustice.com. But that's the position that I take.
Okay.
And so I say I simply don't know when it comes to these different religions, different philosophies, even when it comes to Republicans and Democrats or communists or capitalists or socialists. I say, I'm listening, but everybody's talking at me, as the song says, but I'm not making sense out of a word they're saying. Particularly when they are contradicting each other and sometimes contradicting themselves. And I'm listening very carefully. So I say what you have here is monumental confusion. So maybe one of these days, when some Messiah appears, the confusion will end. Maybe not till that day. So that comes down to one question. What am I supposed to be doing in the meantime? So I say, well, do the best I can with the mess that I'm in. And that's what codification is basically all about. Do the best that you can in this prison system that's completely weird and completely destructive, called the system of white supremacy that we are in.
Okay.
Because that's the strongest religious philosophy that has ever appeared among the people of this planet.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's another question. Mr. Fuller, is it logical to assume that black females are more emotional than black males, and that as a result, we should all adjust how we communicate with each other to improve the quality of our relationships?
Well, when we come to emotions, I say that all non-white people are emotional in a way that they should not be, because we've been trained that way. That's why we're in the shape that we're in. We don't attach our emotions to logic, because we have been trained not to by the white supremacists, presumably. So we interact with each other in this harum-scarum fashion. And that will continue until we get codified. So, and even then, in the system of white supremacy, and I tell people, because people ask me about relationships between black males and black females, for instance, and I said, one thing you should start off and finish with, this premise: you're not going to get it the way it ought to be. I don't care how you shake it up and pour it. I don't care what programs you listen to, what psychiatrist you go to, and all like that. You will never, ever, in the system of white supremacy, get the interaction between black males and black females the way that it ought to be. You'll never get that in the system of white supremacy.
Okay.
The system of white supremacy automatically shuts that down. All you can get is a sort of a tacky interaction that you do the best thing that you can with. That way, you're never disappointed.
I see. Okay.
See,
then
that's the whole idea. You don't want to be disappointed, because too many people saying, I was looking forward to this happy life with this person and all like that. No. You look forward to a few moments of happiness in between a whole bunch of mess.
Okay. Concluding this, he said, is it logical to assume that because whites have gotten gay marriage legalized, that eventually their perversion will eventually include legalization of pedophilia, like they are legalizing bestiality all over the country and the world now?
It's logical to assume the white supremacists will do anything that will cause massive confusion in the eighth area of activity, in the area of what we call sex, among the non-white people of this planet. Why? Sex is very powerful. Sex, religion, very powerful. So the white supremacists make sure that they always lead in religion and in sexual matters black people into complete mass confusion, non-constructive confusion of every kind that they can possibly think of. That is their plan, and their plan has worked very well, and they are ramping it up like you wouldn't believe. Everywhere, television, everywhere, the ads, everywhere.
Like that,
they're
men.
They're ramping it up. They're getting as much, they are trying to come up with more ideas for confusion than you can ever dream of.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to continue to do this, because going back to the 1960s and the late 1950s, when black people all over the world began to kind of wake up to this thing called white supremacy and tap into it, the white supremacists saw this coming. And they say, we got to head it off. And two ways to head it off, even without dealing with economics and education and whatnot, say, we can make scraps out of most of these non-white people, if not all, in the areas of religion and sex in particular.
Mm.
Confuse them to the max. have them so that they can't even describe what sex, you know, is supposed to be or ever was or could be or whatnot. Just have them just going around just doing a little of everything that you can possibly think of. And they spend midnight oil with their feet on the desk looking at each other, trading ideas about how they can maximize confusion among non-white people.
So then,
in the area of sex.
So then it is not strange that a man married his horse. That's not strange.
Oh, yeah, they'll have you marrying a tree. Just anything. Well, you don't know what to do with your sex, art.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you know, you don't even know what it's for.
Wow.
You know.
Okay. Let's take a phone call here. Caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Hello? Caller? Not on, okay, all right. Okay, talktimeatradio.com. We go where you go. Download the talktimeatradio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Okay, I am Mr. Bobby, the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neil E. Fuller, Jr., and our show title today has been Phone Calls and Gmails, Volume 1. And Mr. Fuller has talked extensively about that. But one of the provocative things that he said, that the white supremacists are making you a slave to your possessions. Don't do that. But at this time, we're going to have Mr. Fuller speak about his book. Mr. Fuller, go ahead, please.
Go to producejustice.com. producejustice.com, and there you will find the basic textbook, the updated version from the 1984 edition, the 2016 revised and expanded edition of the basic textbook, and the addition to it. I could call it a supplement, but actually it's an addition. It's an extension of the basic textbook, which is called a Compensatory Counter-Racist Word Guide, showing you how to use words, how not to use words, and last but not least, what questions to ask when people use certain terms. In the early part of this program, when people talk about Western civilization, you know, you ask, well, wait a minute, what is the definition of Western civilization? I mean, can a direction be civilized? You know, what are you talking about when you say that? And answer the, you know, don't try to answer the question, rather, even though I just kind of dipped into it myself just now. But that's not the way to do it. Say, what do you mean, sir or ma'am, when you say Western civilization? First of all, what do you mean by Western? So you take each word apart. And what do you mean by civilization? When do you have a civilization? Why is a civilization a civilization? What makes a situation civilized? See, this question after question after question after question, because that's what the textbooks is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about always pay attention to everything going on around you and have maybe 2,000 questions about just one thing. It might be as many as 2,000 questions about one thing before you finally get the correct answer to that one thing that you're talking about. So get in the habit of doing that. Now, the code tries to lead us to do that. Why? Because that's the formula for logic. Because all logic is about what? Questions and answers. If you've ever been in any classroom, everything in that classroom, if you're going to get anything done, is about just one procedure. Questions, answers, questions, answers, questions, answers, all day long. And so the textbook is directed to individual victims of white supremacy, all right, about how to become codified. Codified meaning how best to go about getting things done each and every day, wherever you happen to be on the planet, in this prison system called the system of white supremacy. But you can get these guidebooks, you might say, just suggestions. They're not doctrinaire. They're just suggestions. They're not dictatorship. They're just suggestions by one author, Neil E. Fuller, that you can sample, pick out the things that make sense to you, Leave the things that don't make sense to you alone and use the things that make sense to you and see if they work. And you can get the books by going to producejustice.com. Producejustice.com.
Okay, there you have your instructions. All righty, let's go to the phone lines here. Caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller, I just wanted to ask you, have you considered off-grid living as a possibility of non-white people ending the system of white supremacy? Because as long as I have to depend on the local power company for my life, I have to pay them, I have to depend on, I have a mortgage for my shelter, I have to have a car loan, I have to have a student loan, I'm going to always be more a subject of the prison. Have you considered off-grid living as a formidable solution, and why or why not have you considered it? And then I also wanted to say, you said earlier on the program that you you speak on the air or some other area, some other time on AM FM stations. Could you please just let us know when you talk to the public live so that those of us that want to hear every word you have to say, even though I know you don't want to be a leader, but we still need to hear your interpretation of the code as long as you are here and willing and able to give us your interpretation. So please let us know what times and what when you are on the air so we can hopefully try to tune in. Thank you.
Oh, go to producejustice.com for that, for any information about when I'm going on the air on another station other than Talktainment Radio. It's all at producejustice.com. See, whatever information I have to put out here other than through talktainmentradio.com will be at my website, producejustice.com. Now, I didn't get the first part of your question.
Hello, caller? Yeah. Go ahead, caller.
The off-grid living, you know, is like just getting solar panels to get to power to first getting out of the matrix of having that thinking that we own property, because you never own any property. Number two, getting off grid living, going somewhere where you can that permits off the grid living, which there are areas here, and finding a way to produce your own power, grow your own food, just get off the grid. That's where you're not dependent on the white supremacist to provide you with the necessities of living on the planet.
Okay, Mr. Fuller,
have you considered that?
Well, okay. In answer to the question, I have to go back to the prisoner format. You're in a prison. Just imagine yourself being in a prison. Many black people have been in what we call greater confinement, and that gives them an idea of what a prison is like. But the entire Earth, planet Earth, is a prison for any person of color in the system of white supremacy. So you're always, you don't own anything. It's impossible to own anything when you are owned. That's another thing people have to get in our heads. We don't own anything. I don't own anything. I don't even have control over what I call my family, because I really don't have a family. I call them, in the textbook for victims of white supremacy, care units, meaning we're just caring about each other. But that's just like slaves on a slave ship. They care about each other, but they're not in control of anything. So that's the situation that we're in. So if you can get a little extra piece of cornbread or something and feed it to your offspring and all like that, you get it. If some of the sailors up on the decks and whatnot happen to come down and leave something behind that you can use and whatnot, because that's usually what we get anyway, what the white supremacists leave behind. And so we just take it and use it as best we can. So in answer to the question, you just do the best you can with what you have, what the white supremacists allow you to have, because you're not going to have nothing that they don't allow you to have. Now, that's out of the question. Anything that you get, you better believe they know something about how you got it, because they provide everything. Because we are not owners of anything. There's no place we can go on this planet or even if we think that we can go out of space somewhere. The white supremacist has to take us there. We don't have any knowledge of how to do that on our own, and they're not going to let us do it on our own anyway without him knowing, him and her, racist man, racist woman. We should understand, first of all, white supremacy. That's why I put that in the front of our book. The reason we get confused about everything every day is because we don't understand that we are prisoners of war and everything that goes with that. We possess absolutely nothing. And that's what makes us so crazy, which is what we are, because we think that we're in a different situation from where we are. And the more we try to think that, the crazier we get and act. And that's been proven, because we're getting away from the truth. We first have to admit that we're as helpless as newborn babies in the system of white supremacy, and that's the first step toward becoming grown, is to recognize that you're a baby.
Wow. I was just getting a Gmail, Mr. Fuller, about you brought that Steve King, and one of them just said, in case you didn't already know, the Republican Party are a bunch of liars. On Representative Steve King, they said that they didn't know his white supremacist views. Then they said that is equivalent to a woman who had just had a baby but said she didn't know she was pregnant. Wow. Woo. VGQ. VGQ. Well, what have we learned, today? That statement you made about white supremacists are making us a slave to our possession seems to be a very provocative statement, because this is the pattern, Mr. Ford, I'm asking, this is the pattern that you have seen them do, I'm asking.
Particularly in the Northwestern Hemisphere. See, now, a lot of people, you take in somewhere in Congo or in Uganda or in Mali, somewhere, there are a lot of people who don't have a spoke for a bicycle wheel. Lots of them. They don't have anything. They're barefoot. Okay? Millions of people don't have a decent pair of shoes on this planet. People of color. But then there are a lot of black people in the Northwestern Hemisphere who have shoes on their feet. And we have other possessions. We have a car we have been allowed to have. At one time, cars were very difficult for black people to get in the Northwestern Hemisphere. In fact, I came up during a time when we would say, oh, we're talking about the guy with the green car. Why? Because everybody knows the guy with the car. Because very, very few black people had a car. Period. Very few black people had a bicycle. Period. There was a time when that was true. Okay? Now, the white supremacists have a surplus of stuff. That's usually when black people get stuff. When they got stuff to throw away. And they got tons of stuff to throw away. And really, I'd like to say this while I'm on it. A lot of black people, even in 2019, have this insanity of running around trying to steal something that they could get the same thing somewhere across town, piles of it, for free.
Wow.
Because the white supremacists got so much stuff that they throw it away.
Mm.
Anybody who's ever worked for a moving company, and I never did, but there are people that do, can probably tell you this.
I apologize.
I mean, they come out and say, hey, you want this? You want that?
I apologize, Mr. Fuller. They're telling me, yeah, I got to wrap it up.
Right.
Thank you so much, Mr. Fuller, and thank you, callers. Sorry for that interruption, but they tell me I got to wrap it up. Talk to him at radio.com, the world's greatest radio, radio the way it should be heard. Hopefully, we'll see you next week on Talk to him at radio.com. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why?
one should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.